Andrus, excuse me, is a graduate of Stanford University with a major in biologic sciences and UC Davis Medical School. Dr. Andrus had over a 20-year career at Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and then has been the deputy director of PAHO for several years since. His work has been in the field of global health. He is certainly seen as a global health expert and researcher, particularly in the fields of vaccines, immunization, and primary care in developing countries. Dr. Andrus.
Thank you, Jordan. I'm delighted and honored to be here, particularly with colleagues and friends at the panel here. What I'd like to do in the few minutes I have is basically tell you a story that has led to the development of a coalition now numbering over 20 public health agencies and NGOs from around the world. It essentially started off as a group of three, PAHO, UNICEF, and the CDC, and rapidly expanded to this coalition, which constantly reminds me of the value of partnership and recognizing we can't do it alone, but most importantly, recognizing that the work gets done on the ground. And we do regional and global advocacy, but the real work gets done on the ground, and I can't say that enough. So as an advocacy group, this coalition has to continually challenge itself to delivering on products, and that it's not just talk, that we're delivering on products. So I hope by the end of my story you get a sense about some of those products, and hopefully contributing to saving lives on Hispaniola. I would like to also re-emphasize the journal that came out, the Journal of the American Society of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene, that came out last month, that had a focus on the initiative to eliminate cholera transmission on Hispaniola. And these are some of the researchers, scientists, who published in that journal. And I, having had the opportunity to do a little bit of the editing, when I finally took the time to read all the articles in one, more or less one sitting, I really got a sense of what a nice story it is, and it really has an opportunity to share best practices. So to go forward, try a zero. Okay. So I'm going to tell this story in the few minutes I have, and end by, well, throughout the talk, highlighting some of the challenges. One of which is mitigating the risk of spread. And you see here color-coded departments of both countries, with the darker shade being the cumulative rates per 10,000 population. But I want you to get a sense that those stars in the bottom right graphic represent exportations. Note that Mexico now has over 170 cases reported in a focal area of central Mexico around the capital. But we now also have cases reported from Italy, France, Spain, Germany, cases also from Venezuela and Chile. So it should be at no surprise why, while from the beginning we have been very concerned about this risk, and these are data similar to what Jordan presented, which is trends in water coverage, comparing data from 1990 to 2011 for urban and rural, urban to the left, rural, and then the total on the right. And it's color-coded by the piped water on premises, or less dark, the light blue being other improved sources, and then you see in the lighter gray and brown that unacceptable sources of water. And just to highlight, particularly in rural areas in the Americas, that this is a continued concern. Every country has vulnerable communities. Certainly the United States has. And so every country is at risk for the introduction of cholera. You may recall in the 1990s, cholera spread rapidly throughout the hemisphere. The intervention at that time was to improve water and sanitation. And that's really the basic premise of the coalition, to get countries and our partners to sign on to a declaration that this is a long-term vision to correct a deficiency in what we believe is a basic human right, water, safe water and sanitation. And the act of signing on to the declaration, I'll show you in another slide that declaration, but the very act of signing on really is a commitment. And certainly within an agency, they have to talk to their lawyers. What are we getting into? We have to get the approval of the director and so on. And so it is leading to, I think, a level of commitment that's beginning to help. Now, I'll skip over some of the epidemiology that Jordan presented and share with you this declaration, which is a commitment. And we now have 20 signatories. And in the next few slides, I'm going to go over rapidly. I'm not going to go into every product or milestone, but I do want to highlight in this next slide some key deliverables that have helped us. The policy work, particularly on vaccination, is something that the partners have done together to look at the science and certainly recommend that this is a potentially life-saving tool, and particularly in the short run, not losing sight of that long-term vision to ensure that water and sanitation is provided as a basic human right. In my former life, my passion to this day is immunization, but in my former life, I spent most of my career working on polio eradication around the world. I spent 7 years in Southeast Asia. I know the Ganges River Valley. And I, even though they've gone 3 years without polio transmission, many of those communities, Moradabad, Aligarh, those poorest of the poor communities, I would venture to say that their water and sanitation probably is not much better than 20 years ago. And although we've achieved eradication, we still have this huge gap. And that's the beauty, I think, of this partnership, not to lose sight of the opportunity. The other thing of note, this coalition, I think, has helped catalyze the development of plans of action. We have a plan of action that looks at the long-term vision, the 10-year plan. It's more of a strategic document. And then we have come up with a two-year plan of action that's now being implemented. This photograph is a picture of the Deputy Minister and Rafael Calleas of the Millennium Water Water Alliance. Moving forward, again, we need to be thinking strategically as an alliance. The real work gets done on the ground, but in terms of advocacy, what are the 2-3 events that we can do regionally and globally that will not allow this to drop off the table, that water and sanitation will continue? I want to just highlight the one activity at the bottom there, the Capitol Hill event a couple of weeks ago, where some 125 Capitol Hill staffers and congressional representatives attended a meeting that allowed this group and their staff to share the experiences of that supplement from the journal that I mentioned, and highlighting in a way messages that they could understand and really come from that room understanding what are the challenges going forward, not losing sight in particular. The data and collecting adequate data, quality data, is a key challenge. We know that there's a substantial proportion of water sites that have been designated as safe that when you analyze the water, indeed, it's not safe. So it's a sustainable challenge. You may have an intervention that supposedly corrects the problem, but it has to be sustained in terms of quality. And using the data to target the high-risk areas is key, and this slide highlights that approach for trying to prioritize activities. So here's the list. Their logos, those agencies and NGOs that belong to the coalition. And again, I can't say enough to thank them for their ongoing efforts. So in ending, I want to share that this is an opportunity. We have had decades of failure in Haiti. That excellent article by Rick Gelting, he'll share some of that information about that history, and he describes it very nicely in the journal, where we have failed. There have been entities within the Ministry of Health, within the government, over the years created for water and sanitation that fell apart, that we lost support for. And so we have to recognize that history. We cannot allow that to happen again. As Winston Churchill said, I'll leave you with a quote, that the pessimist thinks of all the problems that surround any opportunity, paraphrasing him, and that the optimists look at all the opportunities surrounding any problem. And I think this is the opportunity, and I want to thank you again for allowing me to share some of the experiences surrounding work that at times, my experience with alliances and coalitions, is a lot of talk. But we really do need to challenge ourselves to deliver. So thank you.